Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to mortgage protection, trust Zurich. Get the advice you need from a financial broker today.
Debate raged last night. Debate is still ongoing this evening after the UK government last night published its legislation to unilaterally override the Northern Ireland Protocol. But the new bill faces some serious hurdles. Firstly, how many of his own MPs can Boris Johnson persuade to support this bill in Parliament? And then, assuming it passes in the Commons, what reception will it receive in the House of Lords? Well, let's hear perspectives now from both Houses of Parliament in the UK. Simon Hoare is a Tory MP who's also chair of the Northern Ireland Select Committee. He's described in today's London Times as a high-profile Tory rebel who might vote against the bill. And Peter Hayne is a Labour member of the House of Lords and, you'll know, a former Northern Ireland secretary under Tony Blair. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might come to you, Simon, first of all, because after a long wait, the details of your government's legislation was published last night. And I assume you've had a chance to read over it. What's your take?
I'm disappointed that the government's decided to try to act unilaterally. And I'm upset by the fact that the reputation of my country, and indeed the reputation of my party as an upholder of the rule of law, is being jeopardised in such a cavalier way.
And it's not just trimming the protocol around the edges. I saw one observer say it guts the protocol, it's that wide-ranging.
Oh, this is hanging, drawing and quartering. I mean, this is taking the protocol and putting it through the mincer. I would love to be able to say that this is proper grown-up politics. I fear it's more to do with jockeying for leadership positions and, you know, flexing muscles and all the rest of it. It's a complete and utter failure of statecraft. It's not in the national interest. It's deeply damaging to the UK's reputation at home and abroad. I'm particularly pained by what I think is a very acute souring of Anglo-Irish relations. We should be on good and friendly terms with our nearest neighbours, particularly on a shared island. And I think it's very painful for those of us who are concerned about these issues. It may sound to many listeners sort of trite and old-fashioned, these ideas about the rule of law and honouring one's obligations, but it's what I went into politics to defend and not this rather shabby show.
And the Times of London article, which I referred to today, describes you as a potential high-profile Tory rebel who might vote against this bill. Can I text my friends in the Times of London and say, yes, absolutely, he'll vote against this bill, based on what you're saying?
I certainly won't be supporting it. I've made that clear to the Chief Whip, with whom I'm having a conversation in general terms tomorrow afternoon.
So you might abstain, is that it?
Well, it's certainly something I cannot support. You know, is the protocol perfect? The answer to that is no. There are mechanisms for dealing with these things. Rather sort of sullen, unilateral action rather than grown-up politics of sitting down. I'm sure there is some good stuff within the bill. For example, the Green Channel idea, green and red,
they're good ideas. I can see that you're wrestling with your conscience here as to whether to abstain or to vote against. Can I ask you to hold your powder dry for just a second? I want to bring in.
I'm very good at keeping my powder dry. Don't worry.
I want to bring in Peter Hayne, a Labour peer. What's your take on all of this, Peter Hayne?
Well, Simon couldn't have put it better, and I think that shows that this is not a party matter. It's a concern for Northern Ireland and the future of the Good Friday process. One of the things that I've been most offended by is somebody who negotiated the 2007 settlement that brought Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness into share power, and we had more or less stable government for 10 years. Is that I just think the government is sabotaging the Good Friday Agreement. I don't think it's actually the EU. And I don't really understand the purpose of the bill other than to do a kind of grandstanding to, as Simon was implying, to certain factions that Boris Johnson feels he has to keep sweet. Because the EU, as Simon Coveney, the Irish Foreign Minister, made clear on the British Radio 4 this morning, the EU has already offered, and he reinforced it, a green channel mechanism. That's there for negotiation. I've spent the last year looking in detail at the protocol and the Lords Select Committee, and it's quite clear to me that with proper negotiations, you can resolve these problems. And what I worry about the bill is that effectively it's saying to Northern Ireland, you can choose UK regulations rather than EU regulations. But the Northern Ireland is in the single market. That's a recipe for continual conflict if UK regulations were adopted.
But they're dealing with the politics of Northern Ireland as well, Peter Hain, Boris Johnson is. And on the one hand, he has the DUP saying, we are not re-entering Stormont. Even after the most recent election, we're not re-entering Stormont until you fix this protocol issue. Now, what would your message be? And you've mentioned that you were part of the negotiations that brought Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness together into government. What would your message be to Geoffrey Donaldson of the DUP?
Well, my message is the same as to everybody. This protocol can be fixed with honest, serious negotiation. And you know, I've negotiated in detail in Brussels and won arguments for the UK as Europe Minister. The same in the United Nations Security Council, the same in Belfast over the 2007 settlement. If you're going to negotiate honestly and you build trust, and the problem is London has now destroyed trust, not just with Brussels, but with Dublin and with Washington, D.C. That's not a good place for the UK to be. You, in order to get other people to concede things, there's got to be trust between you. I think the Brussels needs to make more concessions. They need to make more changes. I think they're up for that. But what they won't do is agree to a change, a concession, if you like, that they hadn't offered anybody else. After all, the UK is policing the EU's external frontier. No large country has ever done that before outside the EU. They're not going to allow mitigations and changes to smooth the way for trade and so forth. If they don't trust you and they think if they make a concession, it'll be pocketed and then reneged upon.
This was talked about by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Before I let you go, Peter Hain, can I ask you about what he said? He said, this is a government that makes threats, sometimes follows through on them, sometimes doesn't, and regularly throws shapes. Is there any sense in your opinion that this is more bluster from Boris Johnson and his government, that they won't follow through?
Well, the best scenario, and it's not a good one, but the best scenario would be that this is an exercise for, as it were, appealing to certain groups in his party, not to common sense, but to certain factions, and that they will meanwhile roll up their sleeves and negotiate the solution which is available anyway. That's the best scenario that we can all hope for and put our hands together and just hope for. And that the legislation never is actually taken through Parliament. But I'm afraid, if you keep getting yourself into this position, the logic is you do follow through.
Mm-hmm. Peter Hain, thank you very much indeed for that. I'll put that to Simon Hoare, who's rubbing shoulders at parliamentary party meetings with Boris Johnson and the ERG and arch Brexiteers. How likely is that, Simon, that this is just a threat or a bluster, depending on your perspective?
Well, it could be. And it could be a negotiating tactic. It was slightly rolled out, wasn't it, on the internal market bill. I think there's always a risk of, the boy who cried wolf, and we know what happened there. It's an odd tactic to use for a grown-up, mature democracy such as the United Kingdom. We have diplomatic muscle. We've got long experience in this, going back to, William Cecil and the like, to be able to negotiate within the rules which we agreed. It would be bad enough if we were tearing up the processes by which we do these things. If this was a treaty which we had inherited from some bygone parliament and bygone party in parliament, but this is a fresh document negotiated by the current government, understood by the current government. David mm-hmm. Frost confirmed that to my committee. To now sort of say, well, we didn't think this is how it would work, etc. Is I think
it beggars belief.
But it's also. I agree that I think 99.9% of what Peter Peter Hain had to say. I'm more concerned. As I understand it, the Prime Minister is far keener on a quiet negotiation. This is being ramped up by the Foreign Secretary, who I think has an eye on a bigger prize later in the day.
Well, I must say that surprises me, because I was just going to ask you about that. Is this a Boris Johnson strategy, or is it a Liz Truss strategy? Because the vultures, the Tory vultures, are circling for Boris Johnson. Now, if he's gone in the autumn, is this strategy likely to be continued, or will there be a pivot?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Foreign Secretary voted Remain in the referendum. I think she wants to show a bit of, a bit of steel to the ERG. It's been quite extraordinary that this is a bill. I think by Sunday evening it was on version 16. The European Research Group had seen all 16 versions. Now, I'm not saying I'm a special case, but I chair the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee. We've been following the protocol since it was a sort of, twinkle in the minister's eye. The first time I saw the bill was yesterday when it was published. And I think that just sort of talks about the level of SCDO engagement and who they think the target audience is on this. And it is sad, and that might be a very strange word to use. I'm saddened by the fact that we seem to be trading so lightly our international reputation as a country that honours its word, sticks by its agreement, and knows how to do politics, at the expense of sort of grubby self-promotion and looking to bigger prizes in the future. I think politics has been demeaned by the whole process.
Do you think they're playing fast and loose with the Good Friday Agreement and with peace in Northern Ireland?
That's a difficult one to answer, because I'm very wary about welding the protocol and the Good Friday Agreement. The protocol is subservient to the Good Friday Agreement. That's made very clear in the preamble to the protocol. It's why I've been very keen to say to the DUP, changes to the protocol can come forward. They're needed, they're necessary, they're deliverable. But public service through Stormont is far more required, and that's why it should be restored as quickly as possible. So I think for some, there's a convenience in sort of putting this all together in some sort of rather unappetizing stew, if you will, whereas in actual fact, it should be broken down into its contingent parts. I don't see anybody who is hoping that the Good Friday Agreement collapses and that we return to the bad old days.
Well, that would be a terrible vista altogether.
Well, that would be an utter failure, and anybody who was privy to ushering in that sort of scenario would I think have to be, just sort of have to sit with their head in their hands with a cold flannel on their head, because nobody wants to go back to that.
In a word, if they were to pull the trigger on this, would it pass Parliament?
My hunch would be that it will go through. You've asked me to answer in a word, and that's impossible. my hunch, because it's a bicameral system, so my hunch would be, just given the arithmetic, that the bill is likely to go through the House of Commons. I think it gets absolutely mullered when it gets to the House of Lords.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Simon Hoare, Tory MP, thank you very much indeed. And beforehand, Peter Hain.